This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was the president of the Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicagoland, Mariano Spiropoulos. And she began her address by telling us that no elected officials in the world deal with more crap than the commissioners of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. Their job is to control and deal with stormwater and wastewater. President Spiropoulos was elected in 2010, re-elected in 2016. She manages over 2,000 employees, 17 trade unions, and various management personnel. We're talking about such subjects as the deep tunnel, the reservoirs, the new McCook Reservoir that filled to capacity recently in all of the winter and spring thaws and rains, that holds more than 4 billion gallons of stormwater and wastewater. And 1 inch of rain, you will learn, equals 15 million gallons of stormwater. Mariana noted that the water we are drinking today is the same water as dinosaurs used thousands and thousands of years ago. The mission of the district is to protect our water environment. That includes reversing the Chicago River, 7 treatment plants, the deep tunnel, TARP, and stormwater management programs. Spiropoulos pointed out that the district, unlike some other governments, is very atypical. First of all, they have live broadcasts of their public meetings. They're going to be appointing an inspector general. They have a legal fee cap that no other government agency in the Chicagoland area has. In the area of finances and revenue, they're dependent on bond authority, partnerships with the federal government. Real estate holdings, they have 24,000 acres that are leased out for various corporate purposes. These produce $21 million in rental fees to the district in 2017. The Metropolitan Water Reclamation District is rated AAA by the bond rating agencies, something very few governments in the entire United States can claim. Spiropoulos pointed out that in 1970, there were 10 species of fish found in the Chicago River. 2018, 76 species of fish were found in the Chicago River. It reminded me of a story with the late Mayor Richard Joseph Daley. He held a news conference at City Hall, and a radio reporter for station WGN Radio 720 said, "Mr. Mayor, when will we be able to fish in the Chicago River?" Richard J. Daley looked at that reporter from WGN Radio and said, "You can go fish anytime you want. I'm not sure you'll catch anything." But now in 2018, there's 76 different species of fish that we might be able to catch.
So thank you, Jay, and the City Club for the opportunity to speak here today. It's great to be back. And on behalf of the Board of Commissioners and the 2,000 employees at the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, I'm excited to be here to share with you some of the great things that we're working on. And since rarely does our work make the front headlines, we must be doing something right. But we understand that no news is good news. So we don't take that too personally, and I guess fighting against stormwater and processing wastewater may not make it the sexiest job in government, but I assure you that no other elected officials deal with more crap than we do. Okay. You knew that was coming, right? Okay. And I have to say that we always work very hard to come out smelling like a rose. So I'm Mariana Spiropoulos, president of the Water Reclamation District, and I was elected in 2010, re-elected in 2016, and I am honored to have been elected by my colleagues as the chairman of finance in 2013 and as president in 2015. So this speech is timely because of some of the heavy rain and snow melt that the county experienced a couple of months ago. You wouldn't know that today. Well, yesterday we had snow. But in general, around April, you sort of forget those things that are taking place earlier in the year. But at that time, I visited two very hard-hit communities, Ford Heights and South Holland. And as you can see, some of the residents probably could have used an ARC to get back to their homes. Now, as bad as that got, it could have been worse, had it not been for our deep tunnel, our reservoirs, and some of the localized projects that we have worked in. And for the first time, our new McCook Reservoir filled to capacity. I'd like you to watch a small clip to see how that filled up. This video is going to show you 3.5 billion gallons of stormwater and wastewater filling over 20 hours on February 19th and February 20th. Can you see? And that was exactly my response when I first saw this, that they shut those gates just in time before it went over the edge. And that's just an indication of some of the incredible staff that we have at the agency. So one of the aspects, we'll talk about McCook in a little more detail in a bit, but one of the aspects of my job that I enjoy, and I think that my colleagues would share this, is going out to communities and talking to them about what we do and how we can help them. Some of those talks are to students. And as tomorrow's leaders, it's humbling to be able to inspire a student not only to go into public service, but also to protect our natural resources. So I'm wearing the same jacket there. So I'm not trying to promote Jurassic Park here. There is a point to this. Surprisingly, it's not reversing the river that impresses these students. It's the fact that the water that we are drinking today is the same water that was around at the time of the dinosaurs. There's no new water. It's the same water that's going through precipitation and evaporation on that cycle. In fact, a recent study by the University of Michigan found that much of the water that we have today is older than the sun and the earth. Besides that, it represents the core of what the district is about, the importance of protecting our water environment. When you see how the district operations and the role of the water cycle, you're going to see yourself not as a consumer of water, but as a trustee of one of our most important vital resources. I'm going to quote Leonardo da Vinci by saying, "Water is the driving force of nature, and we understand that at the district." Protecting our water environment is what I would like to talk to you about today. What is the district? We're often confused with the city water department. We're often confused with our local sewer agencies, but we are neither of that. We are an independent taxing body that is separate from the city of Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois. Our service area is 883 square miles in Cook County, and we serve the city of Chicago and 125 surrounding communities. We were created by the state legislature back in 1889, and we were created to address a pollution crisis. Chicago was putting its waste in the Chicago River at the time. Chicago River ran east into Lake Michigan, compromising the drinking water at the time. It was the same source of drinking water as it is today. And our act created the governing body led by the Board of Commissioners. We are elected countywide, and that's important to note. There have been recent efforts to try to change that, but our position is that wastewater does not stop at political boundaries. Stormwater doesn't know the difference between a Republican and a Democrat, and the board remains committed to representing the county as a whole. Here, you're going to see Board of Commissioners from 1895. And as you can see, it's about probably a 19th century version of diversity. Some guys with beards and some guys with mustaches. Now, I'd say that we've come a long way, baby, and we're going in the right direction. And we couldn't do some of this great work without the Board of Commissioners, and I'd like to introduce them, the ones that are here today. Our Vice President, Barb McGowan. Commissioner Martin Durkin. Commissioner Josina Morita. Commissioner Carrie Steele. And Commissioner Deborah Shore. I'd also like to introduce our soon-to-be commissioners. We have Commissioner-elect Kim DeBoucle. And Commissioner-elect Marcelino Garcia. By design, the board sets the policy and acts as a checks and balances, and staff executes that policy. And our board has been setting the policy for years. Back in the 1900s, we reversed the flow of the river. We also built 7 treatment plants in the 1920s and 30s. In the 1960s, we were part of conceptualizing the Deep Tunnel Project. In 2004, the board set a policy for taking over stormwater authority from Cook County. And in 2013, our board adopted a watershed management ordinance, which ensured smart development when it came to water runoff. All these policies cycle back to one overall goal, protecting our water environment. The board also has another goal, and I consider it a duty. And that duty is to provide good government. Our Board of Commissioners takes this responsibility seriously. We embrace that duty by holding public study sessions on initiatives that the board is considering. We broadcast our meetings online. We ensure fairness and opportunity with an affirmative action ordinance. We impose a legal fee cap from outside law firms. And for the first time in our 125-year history, our board is considering the creation of an inspector general at the district. Now, let's be clear about this. This is not a statement that there's anything wrong at the district. While I believe that the district is the best agency, the best run agency in the state of Illinois, there is nothing wrong with an extra set of eyes. So taxpayers understand our commitment to being fiscally responsible stewards of their money. So let's talk finances a little bit. The district has a long history of being one of the most financially responsible agencies in the state of Illinois, and that is due to our core philosophy. It's not our money, it's the taxpayers' money. We had taxing authority since our inception in 1889, but tax dollars can only do so much with regards to the infrastructure that we require to complete our mission. We did it as a pay-as-you-go basis. So in the 1970s, we requested and were granted broader authority in order to sell bonds for our capital projects. While our statutory debt limit is 5.75% of the equalized assessed value, we try to stay below 2.5%. We have found funding through partnerships. In fact, our deep tunnel and TARP projects have been partially funded by the federal government. About $1.1 billion have come from the federal government for that. We've also found revenue in our real estate holdings. So we are one of the largest real estate holders with 24,000 acres of land, most of it used for corporate purposes, but some of it can be leased to offset our operating costs. We've been able to maximize revenue from that so far, 110% increase from $10 million in 2010 to $21.5 million in 2017. Another place we started to look for revenue is through sustainability. So that is to take what is coming through the district, trying to find value in it, trying to find revenue in it, and trying to see what we can reuse. So the county's waste is the district's bread and butter. In fact, the bread and butter that's consumed here today is going to be ours in 48 hours. Someone's got to deal with it, right? So how do we look at sustainability? You got the solids and liquids coming to the plant. I know we just had lunch, so I won't get into too much detail, but you have to go through this to understand what we're dealing with. The organic matter, we process and we make it into biosolids. We are looking to market that and sell it as a fertilizer. The second, the liquid part, we call it effluent because it's not 100% clean, but it's very close. And we are looking to use that for manufacturing and construction projects. Why use tap water and water that can be consumed by animals and humans when you can use the effluent for those two processes? Third, our process creates methane gas. We're using that gas to heat and cool our treatment centers. Fourth, phosphorus. You need phosphorus to grow agriculture. And we've partnered with Ostara to capture phosphorus from our waste and convert it into a slow-release fertilizer. So these are just a couple of the things that we're doing to add revenue to our budget. So not only have we found ways to raise money, we've also found ways to save money. Spending for our overall operation, including capital costs and pension, have decreased $100 million a year from $1 billion in 2010 to $900 million for 2017. Since 2012, we have used reversed auctions. Since electricity is one of our highest costs, we've let providers compete for our business and reduce our electricity bill by $10 million. If I told you that there was a billion-dollar agency located right here in the city of Chicago with a AAA bond rating, would you believe me? This, my friends, is not fake news. The rating agencies have seen our pension fund increase 8% since 2012. Our reserves stay steady, and our operating costs decrease. So what does that mean for the taxpayer? It means that the average homeowner in Cook County is paying 30% less for our services than another homeowner in the Midwestern area. And what are those services? It's treating wastewater and managing stormwater. First, let's talk a little bit about our wastewater treatment. Remember, Chicago was putting waste in the river. The river was running east into Lake Michigan. And to protect the lake, we reversed the flow of the river in 1900. The polluted water from these rivers was sent through a system of man-made canals, 61.3-mile system of canals to be specific. And since Chicago was still putting its waste in the river, communities west were getting our waste at that time. St. Louis, for example. They filed a lawsuit against City of Chicago. It went to the Supreme Court, where it was found for Chicago that we could continue that. However, Chicago expanded, and that was not a sustainable system. So in the 1920s and 30s, we built 7 treatment plants throughout Cook County. I'd like to invite each and every one of you to come to take a tour of one of our treatment plants and find out the fascinating things that we do. By the 1950s, the district was capturing roughly 1 billion gallons of wastewater. How does the wastewater treatment process work? It's just a sped-up version of nature. Originally, the waste would enter directly into our waterways. But today, those sewers empty into the district's intercepting sewers, which bring the waste to one of our treatment plants. And at the plant, the waste is first filtered through screens to remove any large debris, and then solids and liquids are separated in a series of tanks using gravity and microorganisms. Liquids are returned to our waterways, and solids are sent to the drying beds, the biosolids that I spoke of earlier. In 2010, I campaigned on the issue of disinfecting our effluent to a higher standard according to the Clean Water Act. And I am proud to say that the board in 2011 adopted a policy to disinfect the effluent before it goes into the waterways. At our Calumet plant, we are cleaning the water to a higher standard by chlorination, dechlorination. And at our O'Brien plant, we use UV rays. The added benefits of cleaner waterways is a thriving fish population. So in 1970, we only had 10 species, and today we have 76. Besides wastewater treatment, our other mission is stormwater management. And to understand why we need stormwater management, let's talk about 3 things. Let's talk about our infrastructure, let's talk about our geography, and climate change. Chicago was once a flat marshland with vast wetlands seen here in 1820. 37 years later, you have a boom in population, and today 40% of Cook County is covered by non-permeable surfaces. That means pavement that cannot absorb stormwater. This overdevelopment and rapid decrease in permeable surfaces was one of the contributing factors to the incredible flooding that took place in Houston last year. The next major issue is our outdated infrastructure. One of the largest issues when major storms hit is the conveyance of that stormwater. You can create all the storage that you want, but if you can't convey that water to get to these reservoirs that we have, then it doesn't serve any purpose. Visualize trying to empty a swimming pool with a straw. And finally, climate change. Climate change is a fact, and the increased rain is contributing to flooding in Cook County. Last year, in Texas, Florida, and in Puerto Rico, we saw 3 of the most intense storms to hit the United States soil in history. In the last 10 years, we have seen 3 100-year rains, which is a rain that has a 1% chance of occurring in a given year. Overall, Cook County has experienced above-average rainfall in 7 of the past 8 years. The amount of rain from these storms in such a short period of time simply cannot be handled by our local aging infrastructure. In fact, 1 inch of rain equals 15 billion gallons of stormwater. And how do we manage all of that stormwater and prevent flooding? One major tool that we use is the TARP system, the Tunnel and Reservoir Plan, also known as the Deep Tunnel. Because of its scope and complexity, construction was broken down into 2 phases. The tunnel, which is 109 miles of intersecting tunnels throughout Cook County, 300 feet below the ground, 30 feet in diameter, and holds 2 billion gallons of stormwater. That was completed in 2006. The second phase of TARP is the reservoirs. Once the tunnels fill, the stormwater empties into huge reservoirs, and those are geographically located. We have one on the north side, one west, and one south. Once the water enters the reservoir, it is then held there until the rains stop, and it's pumped back to the nearest treatment plant to be processed through our normal process. So the Majewski Reservoir was completed in 1998 and has capacity for 350 million gallons. It protects the area, 11-square-mile area in the northwest side, and it protects it from $350 million in flood reduction benefits. The Thornton Reservoir, located in the southern end of Cook County, is just north of the Tri-State Tollway. You've probably seen it when you're driving across the tollway. We excavated over 76 million tons of rock over 17 years to create it. It holds 7.9 billion gallons of stormwater, protects 14 communities in that area against $40 million a year in flood damage. And our third reservoir, the McCook Reservoir, when completed, will protect the area, holding 10 billion gallons of stormwater. Now, I could give you a few more details, but I think our friends at the Carpenters Union had a show called Built to Last, and I think you'll be impressed with some of these visuals.
20 miles northwest of Thornton, an even more ambitious project is taking place.
There were portions of a quarry that existed at the time. We essentially have to dig the hole and the tunnels to connect it. This site is going to be 10 billion gallons. Thornton was a mere 7.9 billion gallons. So we've got a little more excavation and aggregate that we have to deal with. Just to give you a visual in terms of trying to grasp the size of this location, you could fit 11 soldier fields on the surface, and then another stacked 11 soldier fields on top of it.
A project of this size and scope requires dozens of different organizations and specialists to work together for one common goal: the safe and successful operation of the reservoir.
You know, we couldn't do a project like this without carpenters as well as other trades. They play an important, critical part in any kind of project like this.
And nothing is more critical than the ability to control the flow of water in and out of the reservoir.
So the gates in McCook are probably between 50 and 75,000 pounds apiece, and they work very similarly to the gates that are in Thornton. The difference in McCook is McCook is leading to the Deep Tunnel project, or leading to Thornton. The very first thing that has to be done is the gates have to be installed in the walls of the tunnel. The gate rails from one end to the other in 300 feet, the allowable misalignment allowed is 10 thousandths of an inch in 300 feet. This is what millwrights do. This is what we do. We can accurately install these guides and tracks for these gates so that when the gate is picked up by a crane and set into the hole, the gate will slide effortlessly from top to bottom.
Tremendous amount of engineering work goes into this because of elevations, because of flow. I mean, there's no pumps that makes this water flow, so it has to be on a gradient that is downhill from where it starts all the way to the lowest point.
With the completion of McCook in 2029, TARP will finally be finished. the 109 miles of tunnels of both Thornton and McCook reservoirs, all of it will be online. But by then, we will have already saved hundreds of millions of dollars and kept nearly 4 million people safe and dry.
Every gallon of water that we capture in here is a gallon of water that either doesn't make its way to the waterway or doesn't make its way into somebody's basement.
Homes are being saved. People's lives are not being disrupted. I think it's a wonderful thing.
I feel much safer living here now since the Corps has been online.
The Grand Canyon, and I also call it an engineering marvel. And it is. It truly is an engineering marvel.
I'm still in awe of it. I'm still excited to be part of a project like this, that it was conceptualized over 50 years ago, that these people had the foresight and the vision to think up something like this, and that it's effective and it's doing its job today, I think is incredible.
So it's still an amazing thing to think that this was conceptualized 50 years ago, and that it's protecting people from stormwater that would otherwise have been in their basements, and it's still working. So I've shown you the gray infrastructure, which is an important tool in stormwater management. But to complement that, we also work on localized stormwater projects. And these projects are smaller in scale, tailored for a specific problem, and help alleviate flooding for a localized area. There are more than 120 current projects that include construction and or design stages. And we expect a call out for more projects this May. In addition to the gray infrastructure and localized projects, we need green infrastructure. It lessens the burden on our system and prevents the bottleneck that causes street flooding. Green infrastructure helps rain enter back into the water cycle. Some examples of green infrastructure that we have used are rain barrels, permeable pavement, rain gardens, and trees. In 2016, we concluded a very successful rain barrel program. Each rain barrel captured 50 gallons of stormwater, and we provided 120,000 rain barrels to residents throughout the county. That's 6 million gallons of stormwater that is not going in our system. In 2017, we started our tree program. We call it Restore the Canopy. We've distributed 42,000 oak saplings, and since many trees were decimated by the emerald ash borer, we consider this an important program. Trees are a vital tool in stormwater management. They help reduce erosion, and roots take up water and promote infiltration. A tree can absorb as much as 2,380 gallons of stormwater per year. Another successful green infrastructure project is our Space to Grow program. This is an award-winning partnership with City of Chicago, Chicago Public Schools, Open Lands, and Healthy School campaigns. We've converted 9 concrete lots in schoolyards across the city into sustainable playgrounds with stormwater detention. They have outdoor classrooms, rain gardens, permeable pavement, and they're used as community centers. We are committed to converting 20 more schoolyards at this point. Another tool we use to prevent flooding is our buyback program. We've partnered with FEMA on this. Some areas are going to continue to flood no matter what you do. And the best course of action is to purchase the homes for fair market value and make them an open space in order to allow the stormwater to absorb into the ground and let people start anew in a location that does not flood. So these are some of the tools we have to combat flooding. But the district has done a lot, but our work is not done. With smart investment and partnerships, we're helping to reduce the effects of those storms. And we can't do any of these impressive projects without great staff. So I'd like to take a quick minute to give a shout out to the true rock stars of the district. I'm talking about the 2,000 employees that make us elected officials look good. Our staff include, but are not limited to, engineering, IT, attorneys. We have 17 trades that are represented at the district who are a very important part of our team. Big thank you to all of our staff, for everybody that works at the district, but also the people that worked before us who contributed to our 125-year history. And finally, we're only a short part of history. This planet and its resources existed a long time before us and will continue to exist for a long time after we're gone. We can be proud of the work that we've done to protect our beautiful planet. And you know I'm going to have to bring up the Greeks. So In ancient Athens in the 4th century B.C., when people were becoming citizens, they took an Athenian oath. At least the people who wanted to become citizens of Athens had to take this oath. And the oath, part of the oath stated that we will transmit this city not less, but greater and more beautiful than it was transmitted to us. So, we cannot protect our natural resources alone. We must do it together. We are the beneficiaries of forward-thinking ancestors who understood how important clean water is to our existence. I only hope that our descendants can say the same thing about us. Thank you. No questions?
Dr. Mike likes to drink water.
That's okay.
Great.
Same water as the dinosaurs, right?
Same water as the dinosaurs. Unbelievable.
Okay.
And green jacket.
And a green jacket.
Is this from Augusta, Georgia?
No.
Not the Masters, huh?
No.
Okay. Well, that was a masterful performance, wasn't it? Let's give Mariana a big round.
Thank you.
And thank you for mentioning all of the Water Reclamation District Commissioners that were here, because I had an incomplete list, and some people were going to call me later and say, Ed, you didn't mention my name, you're in trouble. Okay. We have a number of questions. If anyone else has a question that they would like to have Mariana address, just hold up your question form, and members of our staff will pick them up. Okay, this is from Steve. Start off with a Greek.
I know.
Look at this.
It's a setup.
Steve Capsalis, who's with Express Group Holdings, LLC. Do you have any proven data that the Chicago River flooding last fall was due to global warming?
Well, I'm not saying that the flooding is due to the due to climate change. I'm saying that we're seeing increased rainstorms and that we have to be smarter in terms of how we manage it. We do know, scientists have looked at the numbers that say that climate change is a fact, and we have an increase in the intensity of the rainstorms. I would be happy to share those figures with you after the talk.
Great. Okay. This is from Margaret Frisbee, Friends of the Chicago River, City Club member. What can the district do to move us closer to meeting the swimming standard that was approved for the Chicago River by the U.S. EPA in 2011?
Thanks, Margaret. I know where you live.
These are your friends.
No, it's all good. So what can we do to bring us closer? We can do a few things. So we clean the effluent from two of our plants. We could clean that effluent to a higher standard from all of our plants. The Stickney plant is the largest plant that we operate, and it's the largest treatment plant in the world. We could clean that to a higher standard. We're looking at that. You also have to look at the outfalls that the city of Chicago controls. So not all of the water that goes into the river is controlled by the Water Reclamation District. Some of those outfalls are controlled by the city of Chicago. So we could probably work together and see how we can someday get to that point of the swimmable standard. And we enjoy working with the Friends of the Chicago River on maintaining and going forward to maintain a clean river.
Great. Okay, this is from Anna Sutton, who's affiliated with Cardno. Is there, beautiful printing too, is there any measurement of pharmaceutical compounds in biosolids resold as fertilizer? Thanks.
Okay. So there's a couple of things with regards to pharmaceuticals. Not all the pharmaceuticals can be removed from our process. So what we do is we encourage people to dispose of their unused pharmaceuticals in receptacles. We have a take-back program. We work with the DEA for that. We also have a permanent site of depositing old pharmaceuticals at the Water Reclamation District. You can also bring those to all of our plants to bring back. We make sure that our biosolids meet the EPA highest quality standards. So it does go through a rigorous cleaning process to make sure that it meets the EPA standards.
Thank you. Great. I don't know if this is related to the question that Margaret that was just asked, but years ago when I lived up on the far north side of Chicago, I was very close to the plant in Skokie there. And you had this fertilizer or dirt that was probably before your time. You could go and pick up. And I had some of the largest tomatoes anybody had ever seen in the West Ridge and Rogers Park neighborhoods. And that was discontinued because of cadmium and things like that. But I'm still around, so obviously...
You didn't eat many of the tomatoes, I guess.
I gave them to all my neighbors. Okay, this is from Sashi Singh, who's with Agile N2N Inc. As a leader, how do you envision to bring agility to your organization to cut waste and inefficiency while still fostering innovation?
Good question. So I think that's something that government in general faces as a challenge, how to balance those two, how to make sure that you're creating efficiencies and innovation at the same time and yet providing service to the public that you serve. I think we're pretty good at it. I think I showed you some of the forward-thinking policy directives that the agency has pushed for. Obviously, we can do a lot more. Our work is not done. That is one of the things that we're looking at for an inspector general, bringing someone in who's going to look at our processes and recommend where we can do better, someone who's objective to look at that. And I think that it serves a great purpose for the agency to make sure that we continue on the right track.
Thank you, Marianne. Okay, we have two last questions here. This is from Mark Lovelace, who's with the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation. How can the great accomplishments of the MWRD be used to leverage environmental stability?
So, you know, we've had great accomplishments, reversing the flow of the river, our treatment plants, that we continue to comply with EPA permits as we are required to do. And all of that is looking to complete our mission, which is protecting our water environment. So leveraging our environmental stability is what we're all about. It's always about protecting the environment. The reason why we were created in 1889 is to protect our water environment. So I think that our innovation and our mission go hand in hand.
Thank you. When I'm not up here moderating for a city club, one of the things that I do is I docent for one of the architectural boat companies on the river and occasionally the lake, and we see these skimmer boats. Is that part of your operation?
Yes.
Could you tell us what they're doing? Because we think they're all spying on us.
No, they're there to pick up debris from the river. Several years ago, we christened, or we had a competition where we welcomed the public to name or christen some of our new skimmers. And I can't remember the names right now, but Allison, our Skimmy Dipper was one of the names. But their whole purpose is to pick up debris on the waterways.
And they do a great job, by the way. Final question from T-Mobile, Mike Bassino. What technology initiatives are you the most excited about and why?
Well, what we get excited about at the district may not be something that you would think is exciting. I think it's very important that we have a GIS system for our real estate.
I told you we have 24,000 acres throughout the county, and sort of cataloging that and having the ability for the public to go online to see where all of our real estate is has taken a long time, but I think it was worth the wait. I think that's important. The ability for the public to be able to report to us when they see pollution incidences so that we can respond right away was an important step in the right direction. The fact that we broadcast our meetings may sound like not a big deal today, but when we first decided on that, it was a little innovative. It's important to bring what we do to the public. So those are just a few examples of things that I'm personally excited about.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give President Spyriopoulos a great hand.